Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Do your kids ever ask you questions that you just kind of scratch your head and perhaps maybe even make up the answer because you don't really know what the answer is? And sometimes with God and Jesus and the Bible and stuff, kids just ask questions that are really, I mean, sometimes it's easier to talk to an adult about it than it is a kid because our children tend to question everything. They'll question everything, you know, and so you get all these really wild questions from kids. And so today on Theology Thursday, we're gonna go a little bit of a different direction. We're usually kind of high-minded, you know, high eyebrow, deep into the pool. I actually think we're going to stay in the deep end of the pool today, but we're going to do it in a way that might be a little bit surprising. We've got Dr. Danny Akin back in the house with us today. Of course, the president of Southeastern Baptist. Danny, good to see you.
Thank you. It's always an honor to be here.
Great. How have you been?
I've been great. Been busy, but it's been a good busy this fall, traveling and doing things at the school. Our school's flourishing again with a fifth year of record enrollment and a wonderful spirit on the campus. Folks that live in the Triangle area ought to come out and visit us and see the great things that God's doing out there.
Yeah, it's like every semester, everything just keeps getting better. It's really remarkable to see.
God's been very kind to us.
It's been awesome. Well, before I've got my youngest of four children is in the house today. Caroline's here. Caroline, say hello.
Hello.
Okay, there's Caroline. She's 9 years old, and so I've had some great conversations with Caroline and had some really deep conversations with Caroline and her slightly older brother, Clay, who's 13, about some things which really stoked me to go in this direction that, man, you know, kids ask some really wild questions, and instead of me having to come up with the answers, well, I'll just go to the godfather of theology and get Dr. Danny Akin in here and let him carry my weight for me. And so I've been collecting questions, Danny, from online. I've collected questions from Facebook. Caroline has some questions that she and her brother have been kicking around. And so we're going to get to those. And also, by the way, friends, I'm going to open up the phones today. I don't usually do that on Theology Thursday, but we're going to do this today. But don't call in and act like you've got a question that's actually your question, but you're going to pretend that it's your kid's question. Don't blame your child is essentially what I'm saying. But this would be especially fun. If you have one of your kids with you and they have a question that maybe you struggle with, or they have a question they want to ask right now, we'll put them through. And if they're too nervous, you can ask for them. That would be fine. But if you want to take advantage of this opportunity, having Dr. Akin in the house, to ask those kind of questions that our kids ask us and quite frankly, we struggle with, we'd love to include you today. 877-448-7884 is the number. 877-448-7884 or 877-44-TRUTH. Before we put you on the hot seat, Danny, there's something going on. This is going to be brand new. We're praying that the Lord's going to bless it. It's called the Raleigh Executive Training Institute. That's starting in January. Sounds really ominous, but what is it?
Basically, it is a way for Southeastern Seminary to serve the Triangle area, in particular businessmen and businesswomen, retired men and women that would like to do additional theological and biblical training, and now they actually have an opportunity to do so. We crafted it in such a way that classes meet one day a week, Thursday nights. You watch some videos in advance, and then you're there from 5:45 to 7. No classes during holidays, no classes during the summer. And at the end of this, you're able to earn a certificate on a graduate level course structure that has allowed you to take 7 courses in areas that, as we've done survey work, this is where lay people have said to us, boy, I would really like to study more Bible, more theology, more ethics, and so on. So we've intentionally structured the program to fit the needs of men and women that are busy. They're busy in business. They now have a few years in terms of retirement. And so this is the structure in which you will find this program set up. If they want to know more about it, they can go to our website at scbts.edu/RETI. They can even go ahead and register for it. First class, as you said, begins in January on the 22nd, and I'll be teaching in it some during the various class offerings. And so we're very, very, very excited about this. It'll be near North Hills Mall in Raleigh, so it's going to be very accessible to virtually every area.
Oh, so it's
area.
Not even, you don't even have to go up to campus to do it. It's right down here, right by the studio.
We're bringing it down here. We're putting it in a more central place in the Raleigh area, which is accessible to Durham and Chapel Hill. So we're trying to bring it to you, make it as convenient as possible. The other good thing is, you'll be studying with our best teachers. This is not something that you're going to get the B team or the C team or whatever. I don't think we have a B team.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there is one.
You're going to get our all-stars. You're going to get our very best that will be teaching in the Raleigh Executive Institute. So if you're interested, go on site, look at it, and we'd love to see you on January 22nd.
That's really awesome. And you'll start hearing these little ads for it just here in the Triangle. If you're in the Triad or down in Charlotte, you still have to do your access to Southeastern online. But here in the Triangle, it's going to be an awesome opportunity. So you're going to start hearing those ads. But SEBTS, which just stands for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, SEBTS.edu is where you can get all that information. But we'll make sure we talk about it again. It's a great opportunity. Okay, let's. I've got a, Jerry's on from Wake Forest. I got a great question from a caller, but I'm gonna give. Deference to my youngest daughter here, because good. If I don't, she'll never let me forget it. And I think she's earned it. So Caroline is here. Caroline's got the first. Are you ready, Danny?
As ready as I'll ever be.
We have not told Danny any of this, so he's just on the fly. We're just going to throw him up here in love and see what happens. All right, this is a great question. Your first question, Caroline Noble. Go ahead.
What happens when you die? Do you go to heaven or sleep? Because the Bible talks about both.
Well, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it is true that the Bible many times uses the image or the metaphor of sleep for the death of a Christian. Interestingly, it's never used for the death of an unbeliever or the death of someone who has not received Christ. But for those who belong to Jesus, I think the reason that the Bible speak of it as sleep is twofold. One, a dead body does look like it's asleep, so it's a very accurate picture of what the body looks like. Secondly, sleep is a very sweet and pleasant image. And for a Christian, to die is to fall asleep and to immediately wake up in the presence of the Lord. That's why Jesus could say to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And Paul can say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul can say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so to die is to immediately go to be with the Lord. Eventually, that sleeping body will be reunited with the soul, and we will be made brand new and given a glorified body, just like the body of Jesus after his resurrection, a body that is not tainted by sin or illness or anything bad, and a body that we will enjoy glorified forever and ever and ever.
One of the things that when I talked about that with Caroline and her brother Clay, that came up, they're like, well, they know that they've heard their dad talk about the new heaven, the new earth. They're like, well, where's heaven now versus where's heaven going to be in the future?
Well, heaven right now is where God is, and it's a spiritual reality that is real and genuine and authentic. But in the future, that heaven is going to break into this world, and this world that is fallen and afflicted badly by sin is going to be made brand new, so that the Bible says in eternity we enjoy Revelation 21 and 22, the last two chapters of the Bible, we enjoy a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem that we'll have access to freely in terms of all reality. So heaven right now is where the Lord is. Heaven then will be where the Lord is, but he'll bring that heaven, if you like, on earth and into this world.
Cool. You got that, Caroline? Does that make sense?
Yes.
How Dr. Aiken do on that one?
Good.
All right. Okay, that's
thank
good.
You.
That's
I feel good, good then.
That's good. All right. We're going to go from kind, sweet Caroline to my friend Jerry, who's calling in from Wake Forest. And he's going right to like this big kahuna kind of question. This is a whopper. Jerry, here I'm with Steve and Dr. Aiken on Theology Thursday. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Dr. Aiken, we appreciate you. We have you do many sermons at our church in Youngsville several times a year, and we really, really enjoy you.
Thank you.
My wife and I are seniors. We have 11 grandchildren. All our kids are grown, and we teach a fourth grade girls class. It's very satisfying for us. And I decided to ask the girls a question because I knew this show was coming up. And the question is, Dr. Aiken, the children want to know why in the Old Testament, if God is such a loving and caring God, did he kill so many people?
And that's a great question. Jerry, do me a favor. I'm going to keep you on, but turn your radio down in the background so we don't hear the echo. But go ahead, Dr. Aiken. That's a tough one.
No problem.
Well, first of all, the Bible teaches, I think, equally both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God is a God of love, but also he is a God of holiness. And in fact, working backwards, this God of holiness is going to consign people forever to a place called hell who have rejected the offer of the gospel and the offer of salvation made freely available to all through his son Jesus. So in a sense, any kind of temporal killing or temporal death in the Old Testament pales in comparison to the eternal death that is experienced by those who rejected Christ. Secondly, in the Old Testament, you have God operating under a theocracy where he is working directly with the people of Israel that he's bringing into a land that is unfortunately occupied and infested, with spiritual terrorists, people that were cannibalizing one another in the sense that they killed their children, engaged in immorality and acts of evil, acts that we would call today atrocities and genocide. And so God, in trying to maintain the purity of the people called Israel, sent them in, and he gave direct commands for a specific time with a specific people to take on a specific responsibility to remove a people from the land. Now, that's been a issue very hotly debated in recent years, and some have even pointed out that it might be even a more accurate reading of the text to see him taking out the vicious ones and yet leaving the more innocent people behind, because we do know there were still Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, yeah, and otherites hanging around even after they had gone in and done the warring that God called them to do.
Yeah, Jerry, thanks so much for calling in, brother. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. And there you go. We've got a bunch more. We'll talk about aliens. We'll talk about pets, all kinds of stuff. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Always a great day every Thursday. Theology Thursday with our friends from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today with a good friend of the program, Dr. Danny Aiken, who, of course, is the president of Southeastern Baptist. And always great, Danny, to have you in here. And it's kind of a fun way to do this today. Some of these questions we're taking questions from children. These are kids kind of questions.
It's funny. For whatever reason, the idea of fun has not crossed my mind in this particular episode of my life. Intriguing, challenging, yes. A little nerve-wracking. I don't really care as much if I offend an adult. But if I offend a child, oh my goodness, I'm going to go home and be on a massive guilt trip.
Yeah, that's going to be true. Has he offended you yet? Caroline's my 9-year-old, the last of our four, and she's in here helping ask questions. Has Dr. Aiken offended you yet?
No.
Has he been well-behaved?
Yes.
Does he seem like a nice guy?
Yes.
You know, I'll stick around to the end of the show, and then we'll ask her those questions again.
She's my hero.
Once we get to the end, 877-448-7884 is the number if you want to call in. If you have some questions from your kids, maybe you teach a children's Sunday school class, and they're throwing some zingers at you. Maybe your child is with you right now, and you want them to ask a question. That would be awesome. But we've got the phones open. We don't usually do that on Theology Thursday, but we have definitely done it today. So be a part of the program if you feel so moved to do so. 877-448-7884 or 877-44-TRUTH. But we've been collecting kids' questions for a couple weeks now. Caroline has some more doozies. So what's the next one, Caroline? What's the next one?
How do we know the Bible is true?
How do we know the Bible is true? Well, there are a lot of ways that I can answer that, but I think the simplest way is this. Jesus said the Bible was true. Jesus said in Matthew that not a letter or a part of a letter would pass away until all of it was fulfilled. He said in John 17:17, God's word is true. And so if Jesus is God, and I believe that he is, then he is right about everything. And if he's right about everything, then he's also right about what he believes about the Bible. And Jesus believed the Bible was indeed the infallible and the inerrant and the completely true and trustworthy word of God. So though there are lots of other good arguments, the most important and the best is that's what Jesus believed about the Bible.
Yep, get right to the heart of it. Caroline, ask the next one. Then we've got Michelle, who's calling in from Charlotte.
Why does God let people get sick?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Well, God loves us and gave us this wonderful gift called free will. And because of free will, Adam and Eve chose badly in the garden. And when they chose badly in the garden, the Bible speaks of what is called the fall. And the whole world was plunged into sin. And in a world of sin, there is evil. There are things like death and disease and even disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes. That's why Paul says in Romans 8, even creation, he kind of personifies it and says, even creation's groaning, waiting for the day that God makes everything right. And so God allowed us to choose. We chose badly. We now suffer, unfortunately, the ramifications of our bad decisions. But the good news is, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he's reversing everything so that not only are we able to be saved in our souls and spirits, but someday our bodies likewise will be completely made new, made healthy, no taint of illness, no taint of sin. It is accurate to say there's healing in the atoning work of Christ. Some experience that healing on a certain level in this life, but all who know Jesus will experience that healing completely in the life to come.
Yeah, and it's one of those things when we, this was a while ago, we had a gal that was teaching the kids the choir program at the church we were at the time. And she had fought an illness for years, and she died. She was young. Everybody loved her, and our two now oldest kids were like, you know, what's the deal with that? Why did she? They loved her. She loved the Lord. God was using her in powerful ways. You know, why did she get sick and die? And I was out in our yard. I used to have this terrible problem in that house with Bermuda grass that would kind of, you know, it's like 3-4 feet long when you get a strand. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, once we went through the fall, the whole system kind of got broken.
Yes.
So you look at everything and you got this beautiful yard, but buried inside the yard, you have these weeds. They're in there and there's no way to avoid them. And it just kind of grew up a part of the system. And so it all kind of broke. And for a child, that's the great thing about these questions, Danny, is Jesus has a particular fondness for children. You can have faith like a child and get into heaven. We don't have to give them the 400-page theological answer at a college level. We can give them a pretty simple answer.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we just need to say to our children, you know, sweetheart, I don't know why that person got sick or that person died, but what I do is this. No one loved that person more than Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus can work even good things out of bad things, unlike anybody else in all of creation. And a God that loves us enough to send his son to die on the cross is a God that can be trusted. Charles Spurgeon said, even when we cannot trace his hand, we can always trust his heart. Mm-hmm. And if we can trust our mom and dad, we can certainly trust our Heavenly Father, even if we may not fully understand exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, what a great point. Number four, Caroline, that's a really good one. Ask that one.
Do I have a guardian angel?
Well, we do have guardian angels. I do believe the Bible very clearly teaches in Hebrews chapter 1 that they are ministering spirits sent by God for the purpose of watching over those who belong to him. So it's very possible that you have a particular guardian angel, but certainly there are guardian angels who are out there watching over God's people and perhaps even doing God's gracious bidding for those who do not belong to him, simply because God is a God of grace and mercy. As Jesus said, his good rain falls on just people and unjust people. So I would not want to say, and I don't think I can say from the Bible, that he restricts what his good angels are doing in terms of protecting. In fact, I imagine if our eyes could be open to the spiritual world, we'd probably be knocked out of our socks to see all that's going on, both in terms of the cosmic battle and evil, but also of all that God is doing to restrain evil and to do good things for those that are made in his image and those that he loves.
Yeah, and those are the things that you think about as you go through and you're dealing with children and stuff. They have these great questions, and then you got to always go to the Bible.
Yes.
And if you don't have the answer off the top of your head, delay.
Absolutely. And just say, look, this much I can say. Beyond that, I don't know. So can I say to Carolyn's question, yes, there are guardian angels. Can I say that we each have our own individual specific one? Well, not for sure. We may. But we do know there are guardian angels looking out for God's people. That much we can say. And no doubt, he's got angels who are watching you and who do see what you're doing.
And the scriptures tell us that we may have entertained angels unawares.
That's right. You just never know who they are, where they are, or how they might show up or act.
So the next time that person is rude to you at the grocery store, You may want to temper your reaction.
Yes, it may be God sending just one of his special emissaries just to check you out to see how well you would react when someone does something you don't like.
Which might put me in a lot of trouble. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio Theology Thursday with Dr. Danny Akin and my awesome daughter, Caroline. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio Theology Thursday with our good friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, taking questions from the younger members of the audience out there. We've been collecting questions for a couple of weeks from children. Children's questions about God, the Bible, Jesus, and all that kind of stuff. And we've got a list of them here. But if you want to take part, you can call in. And don't call in and mask your question as your young daughter's question. I mean, I'm gonna leave that to you and the Lord. But I just got a message from somebody, a faithful listener, that sent me a note saying, hey, these are great. This is great. This is because they're asking the same questions that I have. And so isn't it interesting that, even as we age, you go from 9 to 19 to 29 to 89, a lot of the questions remain the same.
Yes, they do.
They don't really change a whole lot, and so that's why we're doing this today. So if you have a question, if you want your son or daughter to ask a question for Dr. Akin while we have him here on the show today on Theology Thursday, give us a call, 877-448-7884 or 877-44-TRUTH. Maybe you teach a Sunday school class, you keep running into the same challenge with the question the little kids are throwing at you, and share that one as well. 877-448-7884. Or 877-44-TRUTH. But right now we're getting help from my awesome daughter, Caroline, who's 9, going to be 10. When are you going to be 10?
In December.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
What's the date?
December 27th.
Do you like having a birthday right after Christmas, or do you feel kind of robbed?
No, I like having my birthday after Christmas.
Why?
I don't really know.
Maybe we'll ask Dr. Akin.
She's better than me. My birthday is January the 2nd, and I always feel like I got robbed.
You got robbed.
I'm actually in therapy and on drugs as a result of having been abused as a child when it comes to my birthday.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, let's go to the next question. All right, Caroline, go ahead. Batter up.
Will I see my pets in heaven?
That's a great question.
Wow, boy, it is a great question. And I certainly hope
so. You may never get a new student again at
Southeastern,
depending on how you
answer. Well, I'm telling you, we had some wonderful pets that I hope are going to be into heaven. I do believe this. Every aspect of God's good creation is going to be represented in the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. So are animals a part of God's good creation? Absolutely. So will there be animals in heaven and in the new earth? Absolutely. Will it be our particular animals that will be there? I playfully sometimes say, dogs, yes, cats, no. I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. An amen. Can I get a witness?
I'm just kidding, because I think they will be redeemed cats in heaven, which I'll be very interested to see what a redeemed cat is actually
But let me just break in here for a second. I'll be happy to forward your emails and Facebook posts to Dr.
Well, listen,
Akin
there's no question
tonight.
That a redeemed cat's going to act like a dog. So there we go. We're good to go. But I'm hopeful. You know, God gave us pets to be enjoyed, and I can't see any reason why our particular pets might not be that which represents the animals in heaven. But I do believe for sure all of the wonderful species of animals will be enjoyed forever and ever and ever, because they are a part of God's very good creation.
Yeah, and it's going to be so cool, because the scriptures talk to us about the lion laying with the lamb.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, why have a wimpy little house cat
so
when you can have a lion?
So obviously their cats are going to be there, so it's
the
settled
ones,
right there.
Lions, cheetahs,
I'm not going there. I want to be clear. I was being playful
not
while
tabbies
ago.
And all those
I was being playful while ago.
I hear you. Okay, you know what? I've got, can I get Lily on here? I got Lily's calling in. She's got a great question. This is a zinger from a young one. Can I take Lily? Are we good in there? Can I go ahead? All right, let me get to Lily. All right. Hi, Lily. You're on with Steve and with Dr. Akin. How old are you, Lily?
I'm 10.
You're 10. Awesome. Thanks so much for calling in today. What's your question for Dr. Akin?
I want to know, what does God have to say about speaking in tongues?
About speaking in tongues.
Well, God has a lot to say about speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I think what he says there is, it is a supernatural gift given by God that is to be exercised in the church in a very particular way. It should be done with two, maybe three, always one at a time, and with an interpreter. And that he often uses that, especially in missionary context, to give validation to the fact that the gospel and the message about Jesus is true. But I certainly believe it's a legitimate gift. It's a gift that is still active today. In fact, I don't believe, Lily, that any of the gifts of God are not active today, because our supernatural God is still doing supernatural things.
What do you think, Lily?
Lily? Sounds like my pastor.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Lily. Thank you, sweetheart.
All right, thanks, Lily. That was an awesome question. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
All right, you're welcome. See you later. Okay, that was fun. All right, Caroline, I love this next one. And actually, I'm going to chime in on this question, too. Go ahead.
Should I ask God to get me what I want for Christmas?
Well, Brother Steve, why don't you go ahead and tackle that one first, since you want to chime in.
No, I'm thinking you're probably going to start talking about Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff. When I look at this one, should I ask God to get me what I want for Christmas? Well, if what you're asking for Christmas, Caroline, is something that would be pleasing to the Lord, he wants to give you the desires of your heart as far as your heart is in line with him. So if I'm asking for something that's not going to glorify God, it's something that's going to lead me to sin, it's something that's going to cause a problem. Of course, God doesn't want to give you that, does he? Why would he give you that? And we know that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So all the good stuff comes from God. The bad stuff doesn't. Does God care? Here's a question, Dr. Aiken. Does God care, like, if you're going to pray for the Georgia Bulldogs?
Yes.
If you're going to, yes, of course he does. All right, if you're going to pray.
It's not been working as well as I would
like
to. Well,
you know, the prayers of the righteous man avail
as
much.
Oh, that's nuts. And,
see, this is so much fun. This is,
yes, the only, it is.
I might not ever graduate now, but it's still fun. So. Oftentimes, I think we assume maybe God doesn't care about these little things. You know, I need to get a new car, or how am I going to buy how am I going to pay for the roofing on my house? Or all right, what? Now I'm getting a word.
My cat is dying.
My cat is dying. We pray. Our cat was dying. And this isn't going to please you, but we prayed like crazy for our cat, and our cat's been healed. Praise God.
I think the way you said it a moment ago puts us in the right direction. We should express to God the desires of our heart. And so in that context, we can talk to God like we can talk to our own parents and express our desires, our wishes, our wants. But I do think we learn from Jesus and from the Bible that the best way then to conclude that prayer is to say, but Lord, you know better than me.
Yeah.
And I know that you want only the best for me. So if the best thing for me is for you to say no, then you please say no, because I trust you to know what's better for me than I trust me to know what's better for me. And you couch it in that kind of a way, I think that demonstrates the fact that we pray in faith. We pray knowing we can ask our Father anything, but we also leave the final decision and the final call with him, because he always knows best.
And we obviously saw Jesus do that in the ultimate moment of decision. You know, hey, if there's any way that this can pass from me,
nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If that's the way Jesus prayed, I think that's probably a good pattern for us too.
Yep, not my will, but thine be done. That's all right. The next one, Caroline, this is a good one.
Did Jesus ever disobey his parents?
No. Jesus obeyed his parents perfectly. Now, sometimes people say, oh, but he stayed behind in the temple when he was 12 years old to engage the religious leaders with a conversation. Well, there's no sense in which we read in the Bible that they told him, don't you go back there and do that. It simply was he got engaged with the conversation with these religious leaders. His parents moved on thinking he was with somebody else, and then came to realize, oh, he's not here, and they went back. So it wasn't that he was there consciously acting in disobedience to his parents. He was there obeying his ultimate parent, his father. It just simply was the case that there was a mistake made, not a sin, as to where he was and what he was doing. And so when they, you know, kind of chastened him, what are you doing? He explained very clearly where he was and why he was there. There's no sense in which we see his parents saying, well, you disobeyed us, therefore go sit in the corner.
Right.
No, they understood what was going on. And so, no, He, of all people, obeyed his parents more perfectly than anyone who's ever lived. And again, sets a really good example for all of us in terms of obeying our moms and dads, too.
Well, let me flip that around in kind of a funny way. Could we then say that if Mary and Joseph ever punished Jesus, they were, by definition, wrong?
I would say yes, but there's no evidence that they ever had to do that. So that's a great question.
It's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, that's the problem with the fact that, not a problem, but it's one of the struggles we have with the fact that the Bible tells us about his life right around the 12-year mark, and then we jump to the 30-year mark, and so there's like 18 years that we don't know anything about. And if you think about it, Steve, even from his birth until he became 12, we don't know anything about that period of time either. But what we do know is that he was in all ways tempted as we were, yet without sin. So to Caroline's question, he never sinned a single sin,
yeah,
and therefore he never, ever disobeyed his mom and dad, and he never disobeyed the Heavenly Father most of all.
The perfect spotless lamb. This next question is a big one. I mean, this is people of any age ask this question, Danny. This is a huge issue, and rightfully so. Caroline, what's this question?
Do babies and little kids who die go to heaven?
Yes. I believe, without any doubt in my mind, that our good, loving, gracious God brings to heaven all who never reach an age where they fully understand that they have sinned against God and that they are morally responsible before Him. Yes, people die because we come to this world with a sin nature. If we did not have the ravages of sin, nobody would die. So the very fact that children die is another horrible ramification of the fall. But I would also point this out. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that anyone goes to hell for Adam's sin. They go to hell for their own conscious sins of disobedience against the known will and revelation of God, something a person with a mental defect may not be capable of, something certainly a child would not be capable of. So I like the fact that David said, following the death of the child that had been born to Bathsheba, the child cannot return to me, but I will go to the child. And then the very next verse, Steve says, and then he went into his wife and comforted her. How could you comfort your wife if you were unsure as to the destiny of that little boy that had just died? No, he could comfort her because he was quite confident. Yes, he would go to be with that child, not just in the sense he died, I'm going to die, but no, he's gone to be with the Lord. I'll go to be with the Lord, and I will be reunited with that child. So any of the parents out there, or even brothers and sisters who may have lost a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter in infancy, they can be very, very, very confident that they've gone to heaven. So the best thing that they can do is put their life in the hands of Jesus.
Make sure that you're going to see them.
Trust Christ, and if they have trusted Christ, they will see that little one again. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's really, once you get your mind around that, you do the theology on it, and you come to the, you know, I completely agree with you. That's such a beautiful picture of God's character.
Absolutely.
And it's a question that, we have so many miscarriages in this country. My wife and I have experienced a miscarriage, and every once in a while when this topic comes up, God just gives me this glimpse of one day, you arrive in heaven, and there's going to be a little boy or a little girl that's going to walk up to us.
Absolutely.
Say, Dad, and I think that's such a picture of God's grace.
It is. And again, I have the greatest confidence that's exactly how our God deals with that particular issue and situation.
Okay, Caroline, do number 9.
Did God make any aliens?
Ooh.
Did God make any aliens?
I mean,
well,
the present company excluded.
At this particular moment, I would have to say the answer is no. We have no empirical data that says that we discovered any aliens out there. Now, is there anything in the Bible that would prohibit God having made aliens? Mm. Not that I can find.
Wow.
Not that I can find. But at this point in time, I think the answer has to be it doesn't appear to be the case, but who knows?
Really, we've insulted all the cat people. Now we've insulted all the ET people, and we'll see who's left when we come back. This is Steve Noble with
Dr.
Aiken. We'll be right back.
The Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, Theology Thursday with Dr. Danny Aiken from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and our resident young theologian, Caroline Christine Noble, age 9. Are you having fun? You're doing a great job.
Yes, I'm having a lot of fun.
You are this.
I like that. I love her enthusiasm.
We might have some posterity going on here. That would you like? Do you want to just take over? Do you want to just do the radio show? Would you like to do that?
I don't know.
Maybe.
It'd probably be a little scary.
Believe me, it is a little scary, but you get used to it after a while. But you've been asking some great questions. Thanks, Caroline, for playing along today and for our callers out there. Caroline's got another one. I've got another one I've got from a caller. And then in general, we'll talk about just the best way to kind of approach teaching the young children in our lives about the Word of God. But I did want to mention, it's such an important question, the question about children, the young children and babies. Dr. Aiken wrote with Al Mohler a great article on that topic, and I just put it up on the Facebook page. So if you go to my Facebook page, Steve Noble, N-O-B-L-E, you'll see that. Do babies and young children go to heaven? And that's on the website, DanielAiken.com. So that's there. Somebody else put a, I'm not even going to read what they said. Somebody else already commented. And people can be kind of snarky out there, but not on that subject. But if that's something that touches your heart, it's something you struggle with yourself, if that's a reality in your world, then please go to my Facebook page and check that out. You'll find great comfort there. But Caroline, this is a biggie. Let's go to that question.
Who created God?
Ooh.
No one, because God contains his own existence within himself. He is the one being in all of the universe that is uncreated, because he has always been. You know, bottom line, it's a great question, Caroline, because if you think about it, either God is eternal or matter is eternal. There has to be something that was there in the beginning. Nothing plus nothing always equals nothing. So the something that we have and live with came from somewhere. Well, either way you start by faith. I think it's much stronger in terms of a solid faith to believe that there is a God who is uncreated, who brought all that is into existence, than to think that somehow matter hung around for billions and billions of years and then somehow began to organize itself. There really is no principle that would allow that. It's, again, if you are an atheist who is a evolutionary proponent, at least acknowledge that you're starting by faith. Well, we both start by faith, so now let's talk about which has the better faith position.
Yeah. Well, that kind of gets me to a point I wanted to spend the rest of our time with. with young children, with middle-aged folks, really, regardless of age, the tie, the balance between knowledge and understanding and reasonable facts and in a way of approaching faith in Jesus Christ versus just faith in and of itself. How do we kind of balance that with our children, with anybody? Because our kids ask all kinds of questions, but ultimately, I'm not going to reason anybody ultimately into the family of God. Faith becomes an element. So how do we balance that, Danny?
Well, one thing we can say to our children is, in all honesty, sometimes we just don't know. And there's nothing wrong with saying to a child, I just don't know, but God does know. Furthermore, this God who made you also is the God who loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die for you. Any God who loves you that much can be trusted even when we may not understand all that he's doing. The book of Job, great example. He basically says to Job when he's asking all of his questions, where were you when I made everything? Where were you when I brought all that is into existence? In a sense, who are you to be questioning me in light of who I am and in light of who you are? Isn't it the fact that I made you, that I'm going to redeem you, and that I love you enough? And Job said, I repented, recognizing, yes, he loves me, he made me, he's God, I'm not, he's trustworthy. I'll live by faith and walk by that faith and find out and believe that in the end, I'll get some more answers to my questions. So I would say to children as well as to adults, just because we don't have every answer today doesn't mean that there are no answers. It just means that some of those answers may come later. And again, that's what makes God God and us not God. Actually, these hard questions, Steve, ought to drive us to humility,
yeah.
Ought to drive us to a recognition of our finiteness, our creatureliness. And again, any God that has done for us what our God has done through Jesus is a God who can be trusted, and a God that indeed we can walk by faith and believe in, trust in, and have confidence that he is going to do right. And he, as the God of all this earth, is going to make everything right sometime, some way. I can be patient and wait.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note it. And obviously talking about the Executive Leadership Institute and people being able to take part in anything that Southeastern offers. I mean, as you get more educated and understand theology, as you dig deeper into the gospel, you get wiser, obviously. You gain knowledge. But at some point, there's faith as a component that's in there. But the thing that I love about my faith, Danny, is that it's reasonable.
Yes.
I oftentimes, when I'm talking to skeptics and stuff, sometimes again in these conversations, I'll start off with a question and go, do I strike you as being an idiot? Do I seem like a stupid person to you? No, you don't. Well, thank you. I'm not. I'm a reasonable person. And my faith is there is a leap there, but it's not as big a one as it used to be.
No.
And it's very reasonable. And ultimately, like Frank Turek said, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist because they have no answers. We have a lot of answers.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a great point. And Danny, thanks for throwing yourself. Yeah, I didn't even have to throw you under the bus this time. You did it yourself.
Yeah, I certainly did. But with your sweet Caroline here, I felt like I at least had one friend in the house.
You've got more than that, unless we're going to talk about cats, which we'll never do again. Caroline, Christine Noble, thanks for being here, honey. You did a great job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, friends, there you go. Great questions from children, but questions for the ages, questions that we all need to struggle with. God has answers. All right, have a great evening. God willing, we'll be back tomorrow at 4:00.